CRT. Hello, I'm Joey, and yes, this is another part to our interview series powered by Taiwan's only all-English streaming platform, Taiwan Plus, and only all-English radio station, ICRT. And today we'll be speaking with, I would say a friend of mine, and I've known him for several years, I think at least five, Jason Wong. Hello!
Hi, Joey. Nice to see you again.
Gordon Ramsay is where we're going to start, right? 2017's MasterChef, Season 8. That's almost six years ago.
Yeah, it's a while ago.
You really brought like the Taiwanese cuisine to that or those tables. And I remember you wowed everybody with just a very simple clam soup, right? That was the one that put you on the map. Yeah. Now, was that like a family thing? Like, was that something inherited from mom or dad?
Well, my uncle, so my mom's brother, even though he's not a professional chef, everyone in their family just cooks really well. And I remember he would always just take really simple ingredients and turn them into really delicious things. And I remember him making just the ge li tang, just simple, the rice wine and then the ginger and the clams. And it just really focused on the flavor of the clams, which was super yummy. So, you know, the mystery box challenge that I had on MasterChef, they gave us the most luxurious ingredients. And I thought, well, why don't I just do a fancified version of something that I know that is just tried and true and delicious. And
yeah, true.
It not only had delicious flavor, but it had a story behind it. And I think the best foods that you eat always have some cultural memory, or it reminds you of someone, or it reminds you of a place you were at. So I just loved making that soup, and I was glad to share it, and I was surprised that everyone had such a reaction to it. But
yeah, that's what I really love about cultures that have food at the forefront of their relationships. Italians, for example, right? And certainly Asian, Taiwanese people. Every dish you make for your guests, there's a story behind it. And it's really fun to like sit there and listen to the chef telling their stories. So when you were at MasterChef, did you find that kind of connection with different people from different cultures?
What I really loved about MasterChef was we're all from the US, yeah, but we're all from different regions. And there's so many different types of regional cooking, like in Louisiana, and then the Texas style barbecue, and then you have Pacific Northwest, that's a whole different style. Yeah. So just getting to meet all those people and hear their story and their culture through their food, that was what was most exciting to me. Because take, for example, okra. I love okra, but chow kuei, I'm used to just having it steamed and then you dip in sauce, yeah, or, you know, in the salad. But in the South, they fry it, they batter it, they make it crispy, all sorts of different things. So it's just taking a view at the same ingredients through different lenses, I think is really fun. So yeah, I will call people from the show still, like, hey, Yashika, like, how do I do this? Or my friend Kate in Chicago, you know, I have some mushrooms and I don't know what would you do with this? So we all stay in close touch and it's just like a big food family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Americans in the South tend to fry everything, and they use a bar of butter for everything.
But people in Taiwan tend to fry everything too.
You know what? I didn't think about that. That works very well together. Yeah, all of our like street food delicacies, like half of them at least, are fried foods.
Yeah.
Your new show is all about that, right? Jason's Table. But some would call it Jason's Shocking Table because,
yay!
Yes, there you go. Like, to be shocked and surprised is a part of this show with Taiwan Plus. And you guys just aired your first episode. You obviously invite a lot of people from different cultures to kind of clash with Taiwanese cuisine. Is this an opportunity for, you know, like cultural exchange as well?
Well, so the show, Jason's Table Shocked and Surprised, premieres every Sunday. The first episode just dropped.
Yeah.
And it premieres first on Taiwan Plus, and then it's available on YouTube 2 days later, also available on the Taiwan Plus app.
Okay.
So lots of ways of accessing the content. But Shocked and Surprised, the whole concept is that there are foods that to foreigners or people who aren't familiar with the food, it's shocking or surprising.
Yeah.
Now, is it shocking, scary? Like, ooh, internal organs, yes, sometimes. Is it shocking and surprising, like, oh wow, I didn't know that there was beef noodle soup that can cost like $375 US a bowl? Like, that's a lot of money for a bowl of soup.
Yeah.
So I think the concept of the show that, and the part that really sticks out for me is seeing people's reactions. And the guests are all from different cultures, different country backgrounds. And I think it's really great to see their reactions based on their initial impressions of a food, and then to dive deeper in it and really kind of look into, well, why do we feel this way about this? Or, you know, why do chicken feet make me feel scared? Or why do chicken testicles make me feel a certain kind of way, you know? And I think what I really realized is that anything that you're unfamiliar with, it's going to present some kind of fear level. Like, not to beat a dead horse, but I mean, we're in COVID, right? It's like multiple years.
Yeah.
But this is the first time that it's really going through community spread in Taiwan. Whereas in the US, like, it's been happening for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
People are a little bit less sensitized to it now, for better or for worse, right? But anytime you're exposed to something that you don't know and there are variables, or it's unfamiliar, or it's the appearance is not something you're comfortable with, it's gonna make you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And I think that's especially about foods. And a lot of times with foods like臭豆腐and stinky things, stinky tofu, other things, a lot of it is based on someone's impression of something. And then they're like, hey, Joey, did you know that blah, blah, blah? Or like, but you haven't experienced it yourself, but you have a preconceived notion. So I think it's important to kind of, I'm a food pusher. When I was growing up and in college, I would make people eat things. They're like, no, I don't eat that. I was like, just put it in your mouth. Or they're like, no, I don't. And I said, I don't care. You're going to eat it. You're going to take a bite and then you're going to tell me. And I changed a lot of people's minds about food. And that's what this show hopefully does as well.
Yeah, I would say fear of the unknown is one of the, you know, darkest side of the human psyche, right? Like, to explore is a courageous thing to do, and that's what the whole, you know, like, Lovecraftian novels are about, you know, something that you don't know or unfamiliar with. Food is one of them. However, some people find thrills in trying out new food. Like, for example, you said chicken testicles. For you to travel to a foreign land and see chicken testicles and try them out, it's a test of your bravery, right?
Yeah.
And how brave was Du Lee when he participated on this journey with you?
I think it's so nice that Dooley came as a guest. He's just a very generous spirit and has a wonderful positive energy to him, so I think he was probably up for everything. But you know, unfortunately in the show there are two boxes, and then the guests can pick which box they want. The first episode is on heavenly and hellish cuisine, focused on chicken. And he unfortunately picked the box from hell, and in there was chicken testicles. So I mean, he was a good sport about it. But interestingly enough, I had never actually had them myself, so that was my first time trying them too. Chicken testicles. I appreciate that in Taiwan, a lot of the foods are very just from the earth.
Yeah.
So in like French cuisine, you see the internal organs, they'll blend into sauce or just transform it so you don't actually know what it is, but you get the flavor. Whereas in Taiwan, they're like, a chicken testicle is a chicken testicle.
Yeah.
I think it's important to really understand where your food comes from. And a lot of times in certain cultures, you only see like a chicken breast. You only see a fish fillet.
Yeah.
People have no idea where their food is coming from. It's like, that came from a chicken with a head and legs and feathers. It's like, yeah, you know. So I really appreciate that about Taiwanese cuisine.
That's a good
point.
And
I think people grow up feeling comfortable with trying out things that are from the earth. So yeah, for Dooley to try the chicken testicles, I'm like, good for you. A lot of the guests have been here in Taiwan a while as well, and I think they're picking up the best parts of Taiwan culture and traditions to meld with their own stories from where they come from, and I love that.
Yeah, it's very important to know what you're eating and where they come from. But, you know, talking about strange or exotic cuisine, it's not like the West don't have them. I mean, black pudding, for example, right? That's blood, that's pig blood. Escargot is a famous one, you know, from the French. And there's this one from Australia, Vegemite, which started literally as like waste product after brewing beer. And then people thought that, hey, let's use this yeast for something. So, you know, people use all sorts of stuff for food. Now, for you, Jason, personally, what are some of your favorites and least favorites? I wouldn't say least favorite, just ones that you don't often try of Taiwanese cuisine. Can you name a few of your favorites first?
Well, one of my favorites is definitely xiaodren, or little squids, little calamar, because in the US, you cannot get that kind. You typically would just say calamari, and that encompasses all the different sizes, like small, big, whatever.
Yeah.
But in Taiwan, just because the attention to detail in the food culture. Yeah. The smallest ones are xiaojuan, then there's zhongjuan, the middle-sized one, then there's taoqiu, and there's tou. So it's all the different sizes have their own specific, because they're technically different types of calamari.
Are they all different? I didn't know that.
So it's not the same one that just got bigger and bigger. They're all different types of calamari. So they're very specific. You're like, I want to eat this kind. I want to eat that kind. I think Taiwanese people are just very knowledgeable about food, even if they don't realize it themselves. So
wait, I'm so ashamed being Taiwanese that all I could ever really tell the difference are the ones that become slightly yellowish when they get, you know, braised or steamed.
Yeah.
And the ones that are white-ish. That's the extent of my food knowledge in squid.
But Joey, you know that there are two different ones, so that's a good start. In general,
thank you.
People just say calamari, right? And it's just like, okay, it's calamari, something fried. I don't even know what it is, you know?
FYI for people, Taiwan is known for our seafood and fruits. Like, these are the two biggest categories that we're known for in variety. What other favorites do you have?
Other favorites, I really like... you mentioned the fruits. That's a food category for sure. Yeah, fruits of Taiwan, because the climate of the island and how things are grown, the fruits, it's like you gave them the best growing conditions they could ever have. So they're like living their best life, you know what I mean? It's all the fruits, the flavor, the aroma. And the other big thing I noticed is that fruits and eating seasonally go hand in hand in Taiwan.
Yeah.
Specifically, if mangoes aren't in season, you don't buy them at the store. They aren't there, you know? Mm-hmm. Or it's like, okay, it's time for strawberries. There's a short window where you can get Taiwan strawberries. And there's similarly like, okay, there are certain times of the year where you can't buy certain fruits. And I think that is a great, great, important aspect of what makes food so important in Taiwan. It's that it's always served at the height of its season, at the height of its freshness, at the height of its ripeness. So all those flavors, you know, sometimes in other countries, it's like, all right, we can get blueberries 12 months of the year. It's like, where did these blueberries come from in the dead of winter?
True. I've noticed growing up in an Asian household that, you know, mom would just tell you that, okay, summertime is time for watermelon and mangoes, and then it's wintertime is time for strawberries and other berries. Is that common knowledge in the States?
I think there are a lot more people now that there is an emphasis towards eating local, sustainable farming, and also just thinking about waste, especially with, you know, prices going nuts everywhere. If you think about, okay, I'm buying maybe raspberries from Mexico. How do they get from Mexico to my grocery store in Boston, Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Somebody has to pick them. They're out of season. They have to be stored. They have to be transported. They go through so many different things that all take up natural resources, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm getting a raspberry from my local farmer, maybe half an hour away, yeah, I can probably only get it for a couple weeks in the summer, but it didn't travel that far, and I'm getting direct from the plant to my mouth in probably like 1 or 2 days.
Yeah.
And I think that makes it even more nostalgic when you think about that food, right? Because in the winter, you're like, oh man, I wish I could just have a juicy watermelon. You know, okay, we gotta wait a couple months till the summer heat comes, and then we can have that juicy watermelon.
Yes, the wait does make it so much better when you bite into that first slice of watermelon.
Yeah.
And it's true that, you know, buying local sourced fruits or vegetables, you know that you're also contributing to the local economy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're essentially buying fruit from your neighbors, right? You're helping your neighbors keeping their businesses alive. And that is an idea that I think is appealing to a lot of people too.
When I was a kid, I never said, oh, I want to be on TV or I want to, you know, do this sort of thing. I feel that especially coming from being a teacher background, it's important that when people watch shows or listen to things that I do, yeah, it's entertainment, obviously, but that people are able to take something away that can improve how they live or how change how they view the world. So especially in a program where I have an opportunity to interact with guests from foreign countries, you know, Jason's table, the shocking and surprising, I think can also describe a little bit people's own reactions to their own impressions of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think now that we know that the world is not as big of a place as we thought it was, and that distances really don't matter so much, sooner or later, we're going to be interacting with cultures and people that we're not familiar with. And to find that common ground, on a plate of food, yeah, maybe we don't speak your language or you don't speak mine, but okay, blood sausage, blood sausage. Like, is it?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good mandate. I would say that is definitely a mission for a show like Jason's Table, to be shocked and surprised at the same time, but also to learn about other culture and start that dialogue. So today we had Jason Wong, a music teacher by vocational choice, a chef at birth, but truly in his heart, he is an educator. And thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to more episodes of Jason's Tables. For those of you who want to follow this show, where do we watch it and what time do we watch it?
So you can watch it on Taiwan Plus on their website. You can download the app or it will be released on YouTube and new episodes will drop every weekend.
Okay, cool. And Jason Wong, thank you. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Joey, you're the best. Thanks.